SMS in the GA flight training environment. What exactly will this look like? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for the download today. We're back today for part two with Steve Lasday, who is a research consultant and is working on an SMS program for flight training organizations under the auspices of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, SAFE. Yesterday, we talked with Steve a little bit about what SMS is and why we see it everywhere but the training environment and why that needs to change. Steve, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Well, let's start out today by just doing a recap of SMS briefly. And you say there are four main areas of SMS, four main subheadings. What are they?
The FAA's model, which is really good model, too. It was done in conjunction, probably, I'm sure, with ICAO. But their model stresses the four basic pillars or components of SMS. The first one is safety policy. And that describes and details the senior management's commitment to the safety process and to the generation and maintenance of a safety culture. And that's crucial. None of this goes anywhere unless there's true commitment from senior management. They have to actually be committed to it. They can't just give the appearance of it. And that means that they're going to allocate resources to it to make this system effective and to make it work. Second component is safety assurance. And now you're getting into some of the technical operational side of SMS. You're going to, with the safety assurance, you're going to evaluate the effectiveness of the strategies that you develop, the risk control strategies. You're going to identify new hazards. And that's the component. The safety assurance component is the nuts and bolts. That's when you're actually crunching numbers, evaluating event data, and seeing what's working and what's not working. Third component is safety promotion. And that's the part, the component that's training, communication, and other actions to maintain and create that positive safety culture. In other words, training of new hires, training of the students, even if you're in a flight training environment, training of maintenance personnel on human factors and safety in the workforce in the maintenance area. Also, promotion of the safety culture. Okay, so there you're working with event reporting. Make sure that's kept open. Make sure that's kept a just culture, non-punitive. Right. And then safety risk management. And that's where you're looking at the adequacy and the need of new controls. In other words, you're managing what you've already developed. You're seeing what needs to be put in there to even enhance it further, okay, based on what you consider to be acceptable if there are some risks that are still remaining. And it's just a part of the continual process. So you can see how these four components interlink, and it's a constant cycle.
Let's talk specifically about the SAFE initiative. Doug Stewart sent out an update to SAFE members that talked about, obviously, the scrutiny that's coming down on flight training as a result. Well, there's no dancing around it. Continental Connections 3407 in Buffalo a little over a year ago really has thrown the door wide open to this conversation. The committee that you're going to be heading here has identified four areas to address initially, and in order of priority, they were listed as development of a general aviation flight training safety audit program, development of a safety management system aimed at flight training operations or organizations, enhancement and widespread implementation of GA flight data monitoring systems, and then development of a comprehensive upset recovery training package for the pilots of light airplanes. Development of a GA flight training safety audit program sounds like it has something to do with the risk management side. This is somewhat the evaluation side to look at what we are already doing. Without the pre-existence of a structured SMS, this is kind of a starting point where it would be part of the risk management step in a normal SMS.
Yes, without a doubt. The value of audit programs is that it's a measuring tool. Just as SMS is just a tool out of the toolbox. It's not the be-all, the end-all. You have to remember that. There's many other tools with this. But the value of an audit program is it gives the auditor, either an internal auditor within the organization, or if the organization elects to bring in an external audit company or an audit person, it gives you a tool to measure compliance, progression, how far you are, along the way. So if an audit was to be developed specifically for flight training organizations, we're pretty sure the committee is thinking, as I do, that that's going to go a long way to helping flight training organizations implement these types of procedures, getting an SMS program up and running, along with some of these other initiatives. And the audit, the safety audit concept is nothing new. This has been around, like many of these initiatives, it's nothing new. We're just applying it and modifying existing procedures and concepts to apply them towards flight training. The audit concept, safety audit's been around for a long time. There's now three major audits. IATA has one for airlines. IBAC, the International Business Aviation Council, has one for business aviation operations. And the Air Charter Safety Foundation has their new industry audit standard for charter ops. So, like you mentioned at the start of this interview, flight training is conspicuous here in its absence. Nobody has, as far as I know, actually put together audit programs specifically aimed at flight training. So it'll be a powerful tool to help a flight training organization.
What is the scope of this? How small are you talking about scaling it when you talk about SMS for GA?
The concept of GA flight data monitoring, it has already come to fruition. There are a few firms that are now that have now developed the hardware and the software capabilities to collect, process, or collect, download, and process typical flight data parameters. Everything from engine parameters to airspeed to navigational data to even G loading. This already exists. So once again, here's another case of something that exists already that we're trying to promote and adapt and get widespread implementation of for the GA flight training world. It, to answer your question, it's already scaled down to small aircraft. For example, there's one firm that has this hardware, that develops this hardware, and it's linked up with the Avidyn systems that are used in the Cirrus products. That's what my familiarity with is with from my training organization. They are also working on developing the hardware and the software and the utilities for the Garmin systems. And this is not a promotion of Avidyn or Garmin or anything. It's just a fact that this is what's going on now. So these data points can all be downloaded, just like the big airline guys do with quick access recorders. They can download it and it can be processed. And this data can then be used for flight data monitoring. That data, you set parameters, you set certain gates where you want to keep the normal operations within. If you see occurrences that go beyond those gates, like an altitude bust or an overspeed or a flap deployment at above a certain speed or excessive G maneuvering, things like that, then it gets reviewed as possible safety critical data, and that data gets fed into the SMS system. Part of the analysis of normal operating procedures to see if there are new hazards that are being identified. And if there are, of course, new hazards which result in risks, how do we mitigate those hazards? What do we do? So the GA flight data monitoring can be a powerful tool. And I think that over time, I think we're even going to see the airframe manufacturers, Piper, Cessna, Cirrus, Mooney, whoever, I think you're going to see that being offered right from the factory. And that's something that we want to explore with the committee.
Steve, after the break, let's talk about the potential impact of SMS on some common aviation accident scenarios. Steve Lasday is my guest. I'm Paul Platt, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3000. 3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today about safety management systems in GA with Steve Lasday, a research consultant who's heading up SAFE's Flight Training Safety Committee. Steve, when we talk about flight training organizations, I think we generally think about airline candidates. But the NTSB accident reports are full of Part 91 accidents that involve guys who got structured training at one time but never intended to work for the airlines. If all we could do was make a difference in all the unwise go, no-go decisions that are made by business owners flying their own aircraft every year, wouldn't that alone be enough reason to introduce SMS into GA training operations?
Oh, there is. One of the key components, as we discussed, was safety education. And wrapped into that are many, many facets of that that all interplay into the SMS program. But, for example, ADM. Aeronautical decision making, single pilot resource management. Even if that pilot, he or she elects not to go on to the airlines, even if they're just a business, you know, even if they use the aircraft as a business tool, strictly to enable and facilitate their business, those core components, those concepts of aeronautical decision making, single pilot resource management, good intelligent decision capabilities, that should be something that they're exposed to in their primary flight training. Certainly, with look at the FAA FITS initiative, experience-based training, scenario-based training, the widespread adoption of technical advanced aircraft, TAA, with glass cockpits. All that comes into play, even for people that elect not to go on to the airlines, but just want to learn to fly, possibly pick up a commercial ticket, an instrument rating, multi-engine, maybe do some instructing on the side. So these concepts that integrate into an overall safety management system all come into play, even for folks that elect not to go onto the airlines.
Well, Steve, I hope we've demystified a somewhat technical subject for people who are wondering about it. I know we're going to hear lots about it, obviously, as the SMS debate rolls forward. And we'll direct folks to the SAFE website. And is there any way they can contact you directly if they have any questions about this, anything we've covered in this interview?
Sure. Once you go on to the SAFE website, once you click on that Flight Training Safety Committee, there's an access form, and it's typical internet access. You know, go ahead and put in your query, whatever your questions are that you elect to participate in the committee. We're looking for participation on all levels. The committee is small, and that's by design, but anybody that's interested in any of these initiatives can contact us through that part of the SAFE website. And I think that's important because as we get more and more exposure and more involvement from people out in the industry, that the benefits are going to be great for everyone. SMS is coming. There's no two ways about it. ICAO has mandated it for all member states, certainly which the United States is. And the FAA is working on it. We've seen notice of proposed rulemaking. There's committees on it, and we're going to see it. It's going to percolate down the flight training and even deeper than that. So the more people try to at least get a grasp of it and be ready for it, I think we're all going to benefit from it. It's just a matter of time.
Well, Steve, thank you for your help to the SAFE committee, and we hope that this can make a meaningful difference in flight training organizations. And thanks so much for joining us and sharing some time with our listeners today.
No, thank you, Paul. I really appreciate the help from your organization, and we're just going to have a lot of work ahead of us.
Steve Lasday chairs the Flight Training Safety Committee for the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. You can find a link to more info on SAFE's SMS initiative at www.safepilots.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.